Welcome to the Soap Bible Study Series from Oak Tree Community Church in South Bend, Indiana. We're working our way through the book of Deuteronomy, and we're a little past the halfway point.
Around halfway.
Yeah.
So, right in the middle.
So this is, we're going to spend 10 sessions, 10 weeks on this, right? And this is week six. So yep. we're just right there. Just right there, yeah.
Yep. Oh, that's true. We passed it last week. Yeah. I was going to start out with that. Yeah. All right. So what did we talk about last week? We talked about the required festivals. Mm-hmm. So that would be Passover and Pentecost and the Feast of Shelters.
Yep.
And all these are required for male Jews to physically be in Jerusalem for these. So big deals. And we're continuing to look at the rules or the laws. And we saw rules for justice and requirements for witnesses last week too.
Yeah. Yeah.
So this week we start out, we got to remember this nation is going into war.
Yeah.
Right. They're not in that land yet, but they know they're going to go into war. So God's now prepping them on what's going to happen.
And it's not exactly a warrior nation, right? You know, they were slaves for hundreds of years. Now they've been wandering and God has fought some battles and beat some enemies for them, but.
Yeah, they weren't the ones fighting.
Yeah, this is not like, these are not trained soldiers or anything.
Right, right. So God, again, gives some laws around war. And the first set of laws are for cities that are far away from the promised land.
Mm-hmm.
And when he says far, it's not that far away from the promised land, but they're not the ones in the promised land. And I think a good way to think about it is on the other side of the Jordan. I think they call it Transjordan in the NET translation.
Yeah, which is modern day Jordan.
Yeah. So God says, when you go into war and you see chariots and troops that outnumber you, and in today's world, if you saw a bunch of tanks or a bunch of people, do not be afraid because God is with you.
Yeah.
Then he talks about the priests, which is kind of interesting. The priests are going to be part of this, and the priests are going to remind the troops about God.
Yeah.
Which I thought is very interesting.
And when we go into the book of Joshua, where we actually see them fighting, the priests are carrying the Ark of the Covenant, right?
Yeah.
They are God literally is leading them into battle as his presence is there with the Ark, and the priests aren't going to fight, but they're in the front lines. As literally leading them into battle.
Yeah, and if you think about it, right, this is literally thousands of years ago, and you think fighting, how brutal everything is, but officers will allow troops to avoid battle if their minds are on home or if they're afraid.
Yeah.
That surprised me, right? Because you would think, just go into battle, be a man, that kind of deal.
Yeah.
But they recognized even 2,000 years ago that... And I think we find later, if somebody is newly married, they don't have to be in war or in the army for a year.
For a year, right. Yeah. Well, because everyone was, not unlike today, every Israeli citizen joins the IDF, the Israeli Defense Force, and they're never out of it. They're just sort of reserve after they serve for 2 years. Men and women alike, actually.
Right.
Here it was only men once they hit the age of 20. But if you're married, then you're out for a year. Stay at home,
start your family.
Start your family, build your home. But it was not truly a volunteer army like we have in the United States.
Right.
But it's like if you're gonna be afraid.
That's part of life.
Yeah. We don't want you to be on the front lines and be afraid and
mess up everything.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Right. So it's really interesting because God was not relying on them. They were relying on God. Right. And I think that's the big difference.
Yeah. So when they approach a city, these specific cities that we're talking about, they need to offer them terms of peace, right? So you're coming in with a big army. Of course, they're scared. All right, here's the terms. If they accept the terms, all the people are going to be slaves in the city.
Yep.
If they don't, then the army has to lay siege to the city.
Yep.
That's a brutal thing that happens.
Yeah. Starve them out, the whole
thing. Right, exactly. Yeah. And it says, the Lord will deliver you, but then you must kill every single male by the sword.
Mm-hmm.
Women, little children, cattle, everything in the city is plunder for the army.
Yeah.
Otherwise. And I'm sure they're explaining the rules right up front.
Yeah. And that sounds bad, and you know how dare they do this? But you remember that God has said, I'm giving this land to you. It's my land. I'm giving the land to you, right?
Right.
So the people have the chance to run,
yep,
or make peace, and then they're going to serve Israel, yep, in peace, yep, and in the law there are lots of rules about how you treat servants and slaves, right? Respect for human life. But if you're going to stand against God and God's people, you're going to lose.
Right.
I mean, those are your options, right?
And again, these are the rules for the nations outside of the promised land.
Right.
There are specific rules for those guys, and they do come up.
Yeah.
And God says, do not allow a single living thing to survive in the six or seven cities that he lists out there.
Right, because those were under God's divine curse, and Israel was the God's agent to execute these wicked, wicked, wicked people.
Right.
Completely different rules.
Yeah. He also says they need to be destroyed so they cannot teach you their abhorrent ways.
Yep.
That they worship their gods, which in effect would cause Israel to sin.
Yeah, yeah.
So, you know, it makes sense.
Yeah, and we saw that, honestly, in the book of Numbers. If you, you know, we're in Deuteronomy now. If you go back just one book, you've got Balaam, you know, trying to, you know, seduce them into all sorts of sexual immorality and worshiping other gods and everything. And if that can happen before they get into the land, what's going to happen once they're settled and they're comfortable and the whole thing. So it's not theory. They've already seen it happen. And, you know, Moses, you know, had to, you know, kill some people. And just, it's like,
right,
you know, God's warning them, you know, this isn't just, you know, hypothetically this could happen.
Right.
It's already happened.
It's going to happen.
Yeah.
Right. It's going to happen again.
Right.
So we get into chapter 21, and it's more about the offshoots of war. So if someone is killed in the field and no one knows who killed them, God provides what to do so the nation of Israel isn't blamed for it.
Mm-hmm.
If females are captured as part of war, here's what you do.
Yep.
They can be taken as wives, but they need to stay in the person's house for a month to lament for their mother, their father, their life.
Yeah.
You know, this is my new life.
Yeah.
Then he can sleep with her and marry her.
Yeah.
Right? Can't just throw her away.
Right.
If he is not pleased with her, she is allowed to go where she wants, and he can't sell her.
Yeah.
Yeah. Kind of very progressive rules in today's world, right?
It really is. And that's the thing, is that a lot of people think, well, Old Testament and ancient worlds, you know, misogynistic and don't care about women, right, and all that stuff. There's so much of God's law for Israel that actually elevates human rights and women's rights and even slaves' rights and everything. Right. What people have this really terrible picture of what the Old Testament was like. They've never actually read it. Right? God takes care of women, you know, and we'll see this in other chapters as well, where there's so many rights that the other peoples may not have had, but Israel isn't supposed to be like everyone else.
Yeah. Then because people have multiple wives, mm-hmm, there's a rule that the first wife that has the first son, that is the heir.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not the first wife, you know, gets a chance and then, but it's the first one born.
Yeah.
If an Israelite sins and is killed, the body must be buried the same day.
Yeah.
No fair.
Yeah.
You know,
hanging it up for display,
yeah, yep,
and all exactly, sorts of things. Yeah.
Yeah.
We're going to see several things. We've already seen things about marriage, and you just mentioned, you know, multiple wives. It's interesting. God never condemns multiple wives.
Right.
A man, marriage is between a man and a woman. And there's no question about that. We believe that. That's biblical. But the question is, how many one man and one woman covenants could a man have at the same time?
Right.
And it's never condemned. And people don't like that, but you know, it's never condemned in here. But God regulates it. He rules. This is how, if you're going to do it, you must do it a very specific way so that you're not degrading women, so that they do have all of their rights as wives and you know, mothers and everything.
Right. I love this next one. If you see your neighbor's ox or sheep going astray, you have a responsibility to help.
Yeah.
I love this. And it goes for any animal. And it says you cannot refuse to get involved, which I mean, it makes a lot of sense, right? A woman must not wear men's clothing or vice versa, as it is offensive to God.
Yeah. And this is really, this isn't, I mean, today we have so much clothing that is, it's gender neutral. I mean, it's man, you know, unisex, whatever. It doesn't really matter. That's not what this is talking about. This is really about an early form of cross-dressing and transgendering and that sort of thing. You know, I know we have lots of discussions about that today in today's world. All the way back here, God said, men are men, women are women, and we're not changing that. We're not crossing that. And even your dress needs to be noticeable, right?
Continuing, if you see a bird's nest along the road and there are chicks or eggs with their mom, you can't take the mom. You can take the chicks.
Mm-hmm.
You can take the eggs. And I know that hunters do the same thing today.
Yeah.
You know, if somebody is deer hunting and, you know, there's a doe during when they would normally have their babies, you're not harvesting the does because the does will die.
Right.
Then, or the babies will die. Then.
Yeah. Yeah.
Same way here.
Yeah. So again, this is elevating, this is a respect. I mean, all of these things have to do with respect. Respect for women, respect for slaves because they're humans. Now respect for creation. Not environmentalism where creation is above humans, but the term we would use today is what? Conservation. Right? Managing creation well.
Right.
Right. So no, we're not going to take the doe. We're not going to take the mother bird, you know.
And frankly, that's what he told us to do after Noah, right? Yeah. Go forth and, you know,
manage
tame the world.
Yeah. Manage the creation.
Right.
Right. You know, creation was made for humans, not humans for creation. So we do everything we can to make sure that creation is done well, but not at the expense of humans.
Right.
Right. And so, I mean, and God had to codify it in the law. But again, people are, oh, you know, you guys are just doing whatever. You haven't actually read the law if that's what you think God is like, you know.
He then says, if you build a new house, you have to put a guardrail on the roof.
Yeah.
Seems a little bit out of place. But the idea is they're going into this land where there are these houses that are already built. They have roofs and people can be up on them. You know, you need to put a guardrail up, protect kids, protect the family. You're not used to it.
Yeah. You know, it's just common sense. Right. It's just common sense. But yeah, if you've got a flat roof, if you've got a balcony, if you've got a whatever, you know, you put a guard, it's just common sense. And it fits within this tone of respect and watching out for other people. If you have a pool in your backyard, you put a fence around it so someone doesn't get hurt. It's the same thing.
Right. They continue then in another section. This section is actually called more on purity, but like you were just saying, it's a lot of common sense things in here.
And respect for each other.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Don't plant your vineyard with two kinds of seeds.
Mm-hmm.
Don't plow with an ox and donkey together. Mm-hmm. We hear occasionally about unyoked.
Yeah, unequally yoked.
Yeah, unequally yoked. And that means something different. But if you have an ox and a donkey, they're not going to get along well together.
Yeah.
And it's just going to cause problems.
Right.
Don't wear clothing made of wool and linen meshed together.
Yep.
You can see they wouldn't clean right. They would dry at different rates. They would shrink, not shrink, rip.
Yep.
And then make yourself tassels on the four corners of your clothing that you wear. Some of these, you know, today you're like, okay, whatever, you know, next.
Yeah.
And then staying with purity and getting in chapter 23. If a man marries a woman, sleeps with her and rejects her, and he accuses her of improprietude and defames her reputation, her father and mother must provide proof of her virginity to the elders.
Yeah.
I mean, this is all spelled out.
Right? Yeah.
You got to go to the elders, prove it. And if they do that, then the man's going to be punished because he was wrong.
Yeah.
He has to pay money.
It's slander at this point, slandering the woman, slandering her family, slandering everything. Yeah.
Yeah. But even more, the girl still needs to be the man's wife. And you're like, what? That's crazy. But because her reputation is stained.
Yeah.
No one else is going to take her. He has to be able to stay with her, which means he has to continue to take care of her,
yeah,
too.
Yeah. And because of the other things that we've already seen, he doesn't get to just, you know, get rid of her, lay her aside. She has all of her rights as a woman, as a you know, wife, as everything. He has to take care of her. So what this does is this forces men to not just go around, you know, sleeping with anybody they want to.
Right.
If you're going to do this, you have to take care of this woman. So you better be serious when you get into it.
Or I don't want to live with her anymore, so I'm going to say she slept around.
Right.
So
yeah.
So if the mom and dad don't provide proof, then the young woman will be stoned at the door of her father's house.
Right. Because that then falls under other laws about sexual morality. Right. Yep. If he's right and she has been sleeping around, then yeah, that's on her, not on him. But if he slanders her, that's on him,
right?
And she needs to be protected,
right? So there's a bunch of other marriage rules in there. I'm not going to get into the whole thing. You're going to be able to read them all, but I wasn't going to review them. God does seem to exclude eunuchs and illegitimate kids from being from entering the assembly of God.
Yeah, it's not really that unlike, because they're, and I don't like saying this, they're damaged, right? They're damaged, right? But that's not unlike, you know, animals aren't allowed to come in and be sacrificed and everything if they're damaged or blemished or whatever. So there is a sense of propriety. There's a sense of gravitas that, you know, if you're ceremonially unclean for any reason, you're not allowed to come in. So it's not, he's not selecting these people and saying, well, you're the only ones. It's anybody for any reason. If you're unclean, you can't participate.
Right. And he continues down that same road with no Ammonites or Moabites may also enter the assembly of the Lord.
Yep.
It says to the 10th generation.
Yep.
I take that to be forever.
Well, I'm not going to go quite that far. Yeah. Okay. Because if you do that, then
nobody can.
Well, you didn't got that. But so let's say King David.
Right.
King David is only, you know, four generations or so out of Ruth, who is a Moabitess. So by blood, he's actually connected, right? If you go forever, that's the same as Jesus line and everything. Right. So I think the 10th generation probably is one of those, all right, we've gotten rid of that blood for the most part. Yeah. We've whittled down the blood so far. That you're welcome back in.
So these were descendants from Lot, right? Where they came from to begin with.
Yeah.
And Lot had a relationship with his daughters, and that's where these people were coming from. Plus, they were hostile to Israel when they were approaching the promised land, too.
Yep.
So for both those reasons.
Yeah, there are several reasons that God says these people are off. Yep.
And then the next group of people is the Edomites, but he says, don't hate them, for they're your relative.
They're closer relatives because they're from Esau, which is Jacob's brother. Yep. So, you know, not Lot and his family way off over here. Distant relatives, these are much closer relatives.
Right.
Yeah.
Also says, don't hate Egyptians.
Yep.
Because you live there as a foreigner.
Yeah.
And that actually comes up a lot. He also says, you know, take care of your resident foreigners, because remember, you were once a foreigner.
It's interesting because we usually think of Egypt as where they were slaves, which God does bring up, but they were there for, you know, almost 200 years, 100 some odd years. Before they were slaves, and they were well taken care of and protected there.
Right.
Right.
Right. And then, well, that was the whole idea. Right?
Yeah.
They were there to be protected.
Yeah. And then Jesus also, Hosea refers to, you know, out of Egypt I have called my son. And Matthew connects that to Jesus because Jesus later, obviously, was protected there when Herod was trying to kill him. So Egypt is not just a negative place for Israel. It's actually a safe haven for them at multiple times.
Yeah. Army members must remain pure. Otherwise, they need to go outside of camp.
Yep.
Latrines have to be outside of camp.
Yep.
And in my words, because God walks around inside camp.
Yeah. Yeah. God's not walking through the bathroom, the toilets.
Do not return an escaped slave to his master. Let him live with you in any village he wants.
Yeah. So I wonder if, you know, because I like to link this to the New Testament as well. I wonder if Paul, when he was under house arrest in Rome, and Philemon's slave Onesimus escaped, ran to Rome, somehow got in contact with Paul. And when Paul sent him back, like, hold on a second, you're not supposed to send him back. When Paul sent him back with the little letter that we call Philemon, he actually writes in there, accept him back as your brother. He never tells him he must release him from slavery.
Right.
They weren't under this Mosaic law. Yeah. You know, Philemon was a Gentile, whatever. But I wonder if Paul in the back of his mind is like,
yeah,
you know,
right,
accept him back as a brother, you know, thinking of this passage in Deuteronomy.
Yeah. So we end up this chapter and actually our reading this week. Israelites can't charge interest to other Israelites.
Yep.
They can charge interest to foreigners. And when you make a vow to God, you must not delay in fulfilling it. And if you keep going through it, you actually read, it turns out it's easier not to make the vow in the first place.
Yeah.
That's the easiest thing.
Which Solomon picks up on in Ecclesiastes as well. There's a line in there, pay what you vow or don't make the vow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then the last one, if you enter a vineyard or a field, you can eat the grapes, you can eat the grain, but you can't take a container of it away.
Yeah.
And you can't take something in it to, you know, harvest it.
You know,
if you just want to take some off the vine,
that's while you're walking it through it.
Yeah. Absolutely.
Yep.
Absolutely.
Good. Which we see Jesus and the disciples doing.
Yep.
You know,
on the Sabbath.
On the Sabbath. Yeah. Which throws up the whole thing.
Yep. Exactly.
Yeah.
So that's why it wasn't theft.
Right.
Also.
Right. And but so, I mean, how many of these things do we see, you know, from the law, just sort of poking out into other parts of scripture, quoted or referenced or in practice?
Well, that's why we studied the Old Testament in the first place.
Yeah. It's the foundation for everything else. Yep. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. So this brings us through where are we? We're in chapter 23.
We finished 23
and
week 6.
Yeah, so we'll pick up here next time, and we'll just keep going through the law and some things, some really neat stuff coming up.
Yep.
Some really neat stuff we've gone through. You know, I've said a lot of people just don't read the law, or they do read it and they think it's boring. It's just a set of rules. There's some really good stuff in here, some common sense stuff, some stuff that connects with the rest of the Bible and even with us today. Even though we're not under the law, right? So I hope you enjoy reading this and, you know, acknowledging we're not under this law, but it tells us a lot about who God is and what he cares about. And I think that's important.
Yeah, right? I agree.
So we'll pick up here next time. Subscribe and follow and share this with other people. And if you have questions or comments, absolutely send those in. We love hearing from you from that. And we'll see you back here next time.